back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, May 29th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and a wild ride it is. Just gets stranger all the time. There's a lot to say and not much time to say it, but it's all been said before anyway, so what's the point? Just kidding. Not fatalist, but honestly, I'm not done with the Memorial Day stuff. There's so much to say about that. There is the, you know, the death cult ideology stuff. We could dive into the, you know, the soundbite, thank you for your sacrifice nonsense. You know, that has I would say obvious occult sort of overtones, and you know, that's unfortunate. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your services. Bad enough. And there are some articles. The Daily Signal article from last week. How you can honor the fallen this Memorial Day. I've been trying to do a better job, or a job at all, I should say, with the archives, and you know, including the information that I discuss in the archives. So, for example, I tried to do that yesterday. I will throw that information in there today, the links from my broadcast notes, basically. But and hopefully that'd be helpful to some folks. So some of what we'll discuss today will be by way of review, I would say. But hopefully in an effort to let the experts speak for themselves. But there's so much that so much we could say, and again, I mean, it's all kind of been said. The article, anyway, just to kind of wrap up the Memorial Day stuff. It's interesting, you know, from the article, Tom Callender's article in the Daily Signal last Friday, how you can honor the fallen this Memorial Day. From Tom Callender's article, this weekend marks the 150th anniversary, or this past weekend, of the first Memorial Day remembrance when Congressman James Garfield, who would later become president, addressed a crowd of more than 5,000 at Arlington Cemetery. The tradition continues to this day at national cemeteries across the nation, with the President of the United States most often delivering the address and laying a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And that's another, you know, it's interesting. If we could just get the vast majority of America to realize that, yes, Virginia, there is a conspiracy. It's pretty obvious. The cognitive dissonance that operates in most people's lives is staggering. And if anything good happened in the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason, I would say it was the fact that the founding fathers of our Constitutional Republic encouraged us to look deeper than the official narrative, I guess, you know, to sort of paraphrase a lot of history. It's interesting that people know in their own lives there are many times, you know, and even in the lives of others at lower levels, motive is suspect and should be called into question many times. But then somehow there's this detachment at some level. And I don't know exactly where it occurs mentally, but it has something to do with the devices. And I've spoken before about the fact that the founders were very clear about making sure that being active locally in our government, you know, a representative government requires that the people maintain eternal vigilance to ensure that they are properly represented. And, you know, not to get off on the etymology of the term represent, but, you know, the concept of being properly represented before government or in the halls of government, and the interests of the people at a local level, and how it was important that we stay in small communities, because you get to a point fairly quickly around somewhere, you know, depending between around 5,000 and 25,000 people, becomes difficult to know people in your community. Somewhere around 10,000, I think. And so this was why we were encouraged to have be active in smaller communities, because then you have a neck to grab, so to speak. Two quotes that always come to my mind: John Adams. There's something particularly odious. Well, no, the way he said it, there's something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off, a whole government of our own choice, managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in, has charms in it for which men will fight. And obviously, you know, that kind of sentiment is something that we are reminded of, I suppose, when Memorial Day circles around. And then Ronald Reagan, in his Time for Choosing speech, echoed Adam's sentiment, I would say, when he said, this is the issue of this election, he said, but I think it's still the issue. He said, well, backing up, he said, this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And today in America, obviously, where we are encouraged, we are coerced essentially and manipulated, propagandized, conditioned, engineered to believe the latter, that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. But I disagree. And it's interesting. You know, again, the question, how can we best honor our fallen soldiers, our fallen men and women who have died while serving in the armed services? Back to constitutional orthodoxy, I think, would be a good place to start. I was thinking about it over the last couple of days. I mean, I've mentioned Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, obviously comes to mind, and the point that Jaron Lanier makes about how one of our greatest, if not our greatest advantage over the animal kingdom, if you will, is the way we benefit from childhood. In other words, passing history along. And whenever this comes up, obviously Santayana's words, I always echo that. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. It's not just change that makes us better. It's retentiveness. Change predicated on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement because, you know, it's futile, obviously. The mind realizes that. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But how can you remember it if it was never intimated to you or given to you? And so it's interesting. Today in America, we live in a society that has been increasingly conditioned to not remember the past. We don't pass it on. We don't value that. For generations now, we've been encouraged to believe that somehow youth and the future are getting smarter and wiser than wisdom and age, which is a foolish notion on the face of it. What can youth possibly tell age and wisdom? And then the wisdom of experience specifically. And so we've had warnings. I mean, I feel like a stuck record. Andrew Jackson's farewell address is definitely, to me, essential reading as an American. It should be, I think. But we've forgotten these lessons. We don't pass these on. And so there was a time in America, as far as I know anyway, where it was important and it was valued in families. Families respected the family structure. People respected the family structure. I remember growing up in the 70s, for example. If you went to someone's house and you did something you weren't supposed to be doing, you might get in trouble for it. I remember being spanked at a friend's house, for example, once. My friend's mom kept telling my friend and I to stop roughhousing downstairs, and we didn't stop. So she called us upstairs and spanked us both with wooden spoons until she broke one spoon on him, on his behind, and one on mine, sent us out to play. And that's how it was. And if you embarrassed your family, maybe you got spanked at your friend's house and then got sent home and got spanked there too, and or got in some kind of trouble. So there was this respect for the family hierarchy, the family order, if you will, and society, those kinds of things. And you obviously respected your parents first, your elders, because you could. And that trust and that respect has continually been eroded in protocols sort of fashion, I would say. But we used to honor that. And the stories that would get passed along were important. They weren't just stories. It was even, I believe, in the cases where the folks that were telling the stories, you know, whether they realized what they were doing or not, connecting youth and the future with and to the past, it's critical. It's critical. If Santayana's words from The Life of Reason mean anything, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. They mean that connection is vital, essential to real progress, to real betterment of society and mankind, of each successive generation. And yet, if you think about it, we're being encouraged to believe that somehow youth and technology and technocracy in particular somehow have things figured out, that people, families in particular, generations for millennia, time immemorial, have not figured out. But in reality, the closer we look, it seems, as I pointed out many times, it seems we're just returning to some of the most egregious errors of history. Genesis 6 and Genesis 11 in particular. So I think it's particularly provocative and ironic, as we come past Memorial Day, that you have articles like Tom Callender's article in the Daily Signal, and there are others. I'll get to a couple other things here in a minute. But so what is the meaning of Memorial Day? Tom Callender asks. And he goes through the history, and he gets to the point where he mentions in his 1868 call to celebrate Decoration Day as a national holiday, Major General John Logan stated eloquently, "Let us then at the appointed time gather around their sacred remains and garland the passionless mounds above them with the choicest flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledge to aid and assist those whom they have left among us as sacred charges upon the nation's gratitude, the soldiers and sailors' wisdom, soldier and sailor's widow and orphan," which sort of harkens to the concept that we are really all orphans and widows. And what's our responsibility to the orphan and the widow? James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 comes to mind. But he continues, "These core tenets still provide a call to order for every American on this solemn day of remembrance." But it gets interesting after that. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some of the clips that I mentioned yesterday, we should have played. You should hear them in their own words, so I'm not going to speak for them. Howard Zinn on patriotism. Patrick Klassen on how the traditional way America gets to war. Wes Clark on America's foreign policy coup. Trevor Aronson on, you know, the FBI strategy that actually creates U.S.-based terrorists. James Perloff on the sinking of the Lusitania. All of this is an echo. This is all real history that should be passed on. You know, I'll just put it in simple terms before I finish with the Tom Callender's Daily Signal article here. I remember as a young man in my late teens, the stories that I heard my grandfather tell about serving in the 7th Fleet during World War II, they were largely romanticized stories by that time. And I never got the version of the story where my grandfather never slept a restful night's sleep after his service, ever. You know, I never got the stories about how my grandmother would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night fearing for her life. So we don't get those stories. I mentioned yesterday that it's interesting, you get one side of the narrative. You get the recruiter's side of the narrative. You don't get the folks who come home these days with PTSD, whose families are ruined, whose lives are wrecked, irreparably damaged. You don't get that version. You don't ever get the pause before greed and laziness take over, so to speak. Feigned patriotism. Again, Howard Zinn on patriotism. We don't get that side of the story. We get a one-sided psyop. It's a propaganda push. And if you question that establishment narrative, there's this overwhelming monolith that is sicked on you. You're attacked by it. And it's very interesting. It's so subtle, so imperceptible, so insidious, and yet very palpable when it attacks, basically. How dare you question? How dare you, you know, call into question someone's patriotism? I'm not, actually. But what one person's misguided notion of patriotism is, maybe I'm calling into question. What constitutes patriotism? Sure. Because I think we can look back honestly, you know, with just the collection of quotes that I mentioned, you know, just a few videos. We'll play some short clips. Howard's in on patriotism. He's absolutely right. Patrick Claussen tells us what I think some of our greatest fears are. You know, we were led into war under false pretenses every time. Every time. Except maybe, you know, as some historians say, the American Revolution was God blessed and the French Revolution was cursed. Perhaps, you know, it's not quite that simple, obviously. But from there forward, certainly, America's involvement in war and conflict has been contrived, disingenuous to say the least, and certainly not in the interest of the general American public. It's just interesting, you know, in simple terms, Zbigniew Brzezinski called Afghanistan the Afghan trap. We've drawn the Soviets, we've given them their Vietnam War. Think about that. And think about the fact that we've been there longer than all of the major conflicts America's been in, all of the major wars combined. Imagine that. Vietnam was bad, Afghanistan's worse, and we're still there. Is this the way we honor our fallen men and women? I don't think so. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. All right, a couple of things, we'll wrap it up. You know, we just don't get that side of history. Why don't we? For obvious reasons, and bad guys have convinced good people to go fight and die for, well, nothing as far as the average American is concerned, the general public in America is concerned. Just think about all the things that we've heard over the years. Ask anyone, why are we in Afghanistan, especially considering Vietnam was bad. It was horrible on, well, any level. Pick any perspective, any context. It's just bad. And Afghanistan is worse. We heard 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, that it was Afghanistan was the trap for the Soviets. And now we're in the trap. We've been there how long? And did we end up there in the first place? Again, under false pretenses. And again, as Hillary Clinton admitted, and as I said yesterday, you can't find that anywhere. There's still this State Department archive, which is in my notes. I will include that in my in my notes that go in today's archive and yesterday's, because I mentioned it yesterday, but it's 2009-2017.state.gov/secretary/2009-2013 Clinton/RM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it's titled Interview with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News. It's the transcript of the interview on the State Department's website that's been archived. It's the archived content from the State Department. And Hillary Clinton said, and again, the video, Fox News had the video forever, and it's disappeared, like so many other things. It's been memory-holed from the Fox News website. I can't find it anyway. I had links to it that don't work anymore, and it gets reproduced and re-reproduced on, or copied and recopied on all over YouTube. And that is, you know, even though it really is Greta Van Susteren and it really is Hillary Clinton, for some reason, if it's posted on Podunk YouTube channel, people think it's, you know, suspect or something. It's very weird, but we should play the clip anyway. So Greta is asking, you know, basically we're in the Afghan trap. Why don't we just pull out? Why don't we, leave? And this was 2010. Stop sending money. Stop, you know, pull the military out entirely. What do you think? Good idea? And, her question is, so you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, Greta Van Susteren asking Hillary Clinton, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint. Hillary Clinton says, I do. I think it would be worse. We're building a relationship that just didn't exist. And she said, I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit in part because the United States had, to be fair, Hillary Clinton said, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we are now fighting. And Greta asks, how? Hillary Clinton says, because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen. And as I've pointed out again, that according to Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was, you know, boots on the ground for Operation Cyclone, literally boots on the ground at one point, propagandizing them with news crew in tow. So it wasn't that the Soviets invaded and then we created the Mujahideen. It was the other way around is the point. Brzezinski said as much. 6 months before the Soviets invaded, the CIA was running Operation Cyclone to create the Afghan Mujahideen. And of course, you have all kinds of things that grow out of that archetype. Not the least of which, you know, you have the Iran-Contra rabbit trail, I suppose, or wild goose chase, whatever you like. So Hillary Clinton said, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we would come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, but again, it was the other way around. First, Operation Cyclone and Afghan Mujahideen, then Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. So she said we would equip these Mujahideen with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. She said the Soviets left Afghanistan. And then we said goodbye, great goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well-armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. Not true. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and that was planned, and thought, okay, fine, everything's great. And she said, now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets. And so that's interesting. So why are we in Afghanistan? Is this really the best way to honor our fallen, as they're referred to? And I don't like that term either. The men and women who, fallen has an ambiguous connotation, if you will. And I don't like those terms. Honoring the fallen. I don't want to honor the fallen, so to speak. Or, you know, thank someone for their sacrifice, what are we doing? Is there an altar involved? So let's be more honest. Let's be more forthright, less ambiguous, and exercise more integrity in our thought, in our speech, in our action. I think that honors the servicemen and women who have died while serving in the armed forces. Remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. See, that's the Wikipedia language, Wikipedia entry language. That's not disingenuous. But getting back to the Tom Callender's Daily Signal article last Friday, how you can honor the fallen this Memorial Day. Again, I don't particularly want to honor the fallen in esoteric and spiritual terms, if you know what I mean. But remembering the people who died, how can we best do that? How can we best honor their memory and their legacy? Well, isn't it by preserving what were they fighting for? What were they dying for? If they believed in a cause, even though they were conscripted under specious circumstances, and their conscription was contrived, can't we honor their memory by being more honest and not allowing ourselves to be manipulated and deceived or our posterity? Wouldn't that be wise and prudent? Again, back to Santayana's words. For a long time now, I think it's still on there. I have had on the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page the image of Jacques Ellul with the quote, because of the myth of progress, it's much easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. And so this gets back to what I was saying in the first segment. We have this myth that is perpetuated that somehow, you know, progress and science and technology and technocracy is making us better, even though we're even hearing from the technocrats themselves. You know, Elon Musk says artificial intelligence might destroy us. Have you seen James Cameron's new series, AMC, Science Fiction, I think, is what it's titled. And he's interviewing everyone. He's interviewing the governor and Steven Spielberg and, you know, all of these great the legends of the genre, basically. Season one. 5 episodes in the bag already. You know, obviously these are already recorded, but, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Christopher Nolan, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, you know, everybody. So, you know, you have everybody. I mean, Ridley Scott talking about Blade Runner and, you know, who was it? I want to say it was Ridley Scott that talked about how Rutger Hauer wrote that final scene himself. I think it was Ridley Scott who said that. And, you know, anyway, so you have the romanticizing of predictive programming and all kinds of bad things. We're being told that the future is troubling, but we should embrace it and rush into it with, you know, throwing caution to the wind. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But you're a heretic if you say so. If you call out this psychotic episode of schizophrenia, you're a heretic. I mean, it's just insane. Anyway, back on track. Tom Callender's article. So Major General John Logan's quote, 1868. Then Tom Callender writes, these core tenets still provide a call to order for every American on this solemn day of remembrance. Since the founding, but here's where it gets interesting, since the founding of our nation 242 years ago, more than 1.3 million men and women have died in service to our nation, from the Revolutionary War to World War II to the ongoing wars in Afghanistan and Syria. And again, see, this I think is disingenuous. They're not wars. First of all, what are we doing in Syria? We're unwelcome. We are not welcome in Syria in a military capacity. Do people understand what's going on here? How do we square this in our minds? What would we say if people who disagree with whatever, and that's not even the real issue. You know, it gets back to conquest. The breaking up of the and remaking of the Ottoman Empire, which is centuries old in the making. But they're not wars. Congress has the authority to declare war. According to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, right? What does it say? I mean, I'll read from it. I got my pocket Constitution out. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a term, for a longer term than 2 years. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal. So Congress can declare war, and what happens when you do this? Well, you don't rush off into things. When you shut down the propaganda mechanism, you create thinking people smarter than robots. Again, Jaron Lanier's words are apropos here. Do we dumb ourselves down to make the talking, assistant sound more intelligent? Wow, the talking assistant can set an appointment. Fantastic. And it took how many millions and how many thousands, untold thousands of man hours to get to that point? Is that really the best use of our intellect and our intellectual prowess? So 1.3 million men and women have died in service to our nation, or so they thought, from the Revolutionary War to World War II to the ongoing wars in Afghanistan and Syria. But those aren't wars, are they? And what were the specious circumstances under which, the false pretenses under which we were drawn into war? And again, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, George W. Bush all campaigned on humble foreign policies, not getting us into interventionist conflicts. But then Philip Drew, administrator, runs things from behind the scenes, doesn't he? So it really doesn't matter what the figurehead says, does it? Kind of like the latest figurehead has vacillated 180 degrees on many central tenets of his platform as a candidate, which is, I mean, why would we think anything different? Where are his loyalties? Are they to you and to me? He's a great salesman, you know. Visiting places others hadn't visited, talking to folks, Beltway folks, having those conversations that disdainful plutocrats are sort of allergic to. Obviously boded well in his sales campaign. So, you know, America bought what he was selling. But I wish that we could learn the lessons of history and pass those on, as difficult as they are. And I know they're difficult, but we need to learn to be honest, or things are just going to get worse. Like they are, unfortunately. 1.3 million men and women have died in service to our nation, from the Revolutionary War to World War II to the ongoing wars in Afghanistan and Syria. That, to me, is an ironic sentence, because we're supposed to be honoring the memory of those men and women who died while serving in the country's armed forces, but we're not even accurately depicting what's happening. We're not even talking about what has happened in history accurately, or how they came to be conscripted in the first place. How can we honor their memory if we're not having an honest conversation? Aren't we really defiling their memory? I would submit that we are. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
I think I think unless we're having an honest conversation, we're not honoring the memory of those. Again, that's a difficult thing to say, and maybe I'm considered a heretic by some for saying it, but I think it's true. And I think we owe it to, if we're really going to do this, and it's going to get more ironic here in a second, but...
The idea of patriotism assumes that...
Right on. It's going to get more ironic in a second, but, you know, if we're really going to honor the memory of the people who died while serving the country's armed forces, then, I think we need to have an honest conversation. 1.3 million men and women have died in the armed services throughout the history of our constitutional republic. And many more, you know, R.J. Rummel's book, Death by Government, obviously comes into view, and the whole death cult ideology tangents that I went through in recent weeks, eliminationism, you know, wars and conflicts of conquest, imperialism, and so on and so on. You know, making them subjects, why don't we let them believe that they're free, and, you know, we'll pretend that they're not that they're not, you know, colonized, basically, that they're not a British colony. We'll pretend. And I'm not talking about America, by the way. So we need to be honest about these things. Tell our children, you know, to honor those who have died while serving in the armed forces, but also for posterity's sake. So anyway, to conclude Tom Callender's article in the Daily Signal, How You Can Honor the Fallen, as he puts it, but I don't like that term, this Memorial Day, he goes from the quote by Major General John Logan back in 1868, which is interesting, through 242 years of history, 1.3 million men and women having died in what he calls service to our nation, which again I think is disingenuous. I think most of that service has been to a rogue political regime. But then he gets to the fact that, and we have the 3 p.m. nonsense. Congress passed the National Monument of Remembrance Act in 2000, which asks us, wherever you are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day, to pause for a minute in a symbolic act of unity. You know, this sounds more like the Stockholm Syndrome kind of stuff than it's Orwellian in nature. We'll finish that and we'll move on when we come back. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.